Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Kiwi, and with me is BP and Paxton.
Hi.
Hello.
This week, we're playing Let's Go to Japan. The designer was Josh Wood, who also did Santa Monica, Cat Lady, and some of the Tiny Towns expansions. The developer was Mark Wooten, who also did development for War Chest, Dead Reckoning, Eco's First Continent, Smash Up, Mariposas, and Undergrove. The artist was Chekov, Colleen Falls, Toshiyuki Hara, Magdalena Pruckner, and Erica Ward. It was published in 2024 by AEG. The game description. In Let's Go to Japan, players are travelers competing to plan and experience the most personally fulfilling dream vacation in Tokyo and Kyoto. The mechanics are closed drafting, set collection, simultaneous action selection, and storytelling. And the box art, Paxton.
It's cool looking.
It's a great start. Yep.
There's like train tickets on one side at like the bottom, and there's like a bunch of different like kind of like cutouts of like different parts of Japan. Like there's a temple and like a restaurant with food, and then the background there's a mountain. I forget the name of it.
Fuji.
Yeah, Mount Fuji, and the subway or the rail system and a town.
Yeah, and I think it's got the Torii Gate, which Kyoto has that famous Torii mm-hmm. Gate Road with the tons of Torii Gates. I forget the name of that palace, and that's on the right, but that's a famous palace in Japan. And then, yeah, Mount Fuji. And then it's got the traditional, like, good luck cat and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then there's people waiting for some sushi, and they're clearly tourists because they've got, like, a map and backpacks, and they're pointing at stuff, which is a very touristy thing to do. And then it looks like some curry, maybe. Or soba. That looks like a plate of soba. So, yeah, it's got kind of an eclectic, lots of, like, traditional Japanese things.
Cherry blossoms.
Yep. So, with the box description, or the game description and the box art, would you pick this up, Paxton?
Maybe. I think something else would have to be next to it. Like, that would draw my eye.
Mm, okay.
Like another game that was cool. And you're like, oh, hey, there's another one. That's cool, too.
So I feel like that's more like a no.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. BP?
Yes. I mean, I love Japan. Josh Wood. I'm a go.
Yeah, honestly, you had me at AEG and Josh Wood. Like, I don't think we've played a Josh Wood game that we were just like, oh, that was dumb. I don't like that.
Right.
Like, every single, like, Cat Lady. Like, how many times have we played Cat Lady? Like,
I just played it last night because I have the app.
Yeah. And then Santa Monica is so good. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I am also a yes. Also, you had me at you get to plan out a vacation. So that just sounds cool. And then we have always been really good, really big fans of games that have you tell stories.
Yeah.
Whether it's in the end or during it for gameplay. So, yeah. So with that, how do you guys think it's played?
I don't know. To be honest, so the board looks a little Euro-y, so I'm a little scared. What were our mechanics again?
Your mechanics were closed drafting, set collection, simultaneous action selection, and storytelling.
Well, we have some cards, so I feel like that's our set collection drafting. We're drafting cards that I can see on them visit various things in the cities that we are planning to visit. We have a week.
I feel like there's like a thing with the days of the week with little tokens, and then the track above them has the same token. So I feel like you're supposed to try to match like the item up with that. So there's like a sushi one. And so I think you have to match that token with the day that it's on.
Ooh, and the cards have those token.
Yeah.
Too.
So I think you have to match them together for the days. So you have like the perfect vacation or whatever. And then there's like a, what's like a happiness track, I guess. But I don't know what that means.
Okay.
You want the most happiness while you're on.
You
want
to have a good vacation.
Yeah. Maybe like stress free, maybe.
Such a thing exists?
No. That's what I'm saying. That would be like the ideal would be a stress free vacation.
Sure.
That exists.
It depends on who's doing the planning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All right. So, BP, the history of stress-free vacations.
Wow. I don't. So, that's called fantasy.
Oh, okay. The history of fantasy.
So, Japan has been occupied, obviously, for tens of thousands of years. But what we come to know as the culture of Japan is actually fairly recent in the scheme of civilizations. The Yayoi period began in the first millennial BCE, but what we really start to see is between the 4th and 9th century, Japan's kingdoms and tribes gradually come together under a centralized government. Agricultural technology and iron metallurgy did not reach the island until the 1st century BCE.
So no swords before that?
Correct.
Okay.
The imperial dynasty established at this time is the same one that continues to this day, although the one today is in a completely ceremonial role. In the 8th century, the new imperial capital was established at Hyankyo, which is modern-day Kyoto. This marked the beginning of the Heian period, which lasted until the 12th century. The Heian period is considered a golden age of classical Japanese culture. Japanese religious life from that time forward was a mix of native Shinto practices, and Buddhism. We'll just have a short history. I won't go through all of them, but the Heian period is kind of, you know, one of the most formative periods in Japanese culture. It's also the period in Japanese history where educated Confucian scholars kept track of the administration and wrote in the Chinese script that they had borrowed, which, of course, is the script that they still use today. And women, however, came up with their own script to write in Japanese syllabic script. And so were the main producers of literature during the Heian period. So for Women's History Month, we just had a little bit of women's history in Heian, Japan.
All right. You guys want to know how to play?
Sure.
All right. So we are travelers planning our trip to Japan. We want to create the most fulfilling trip traveling between Tokyo and Kyoto over the course of the week. We gain points based on our experiences, our overall stress, our happiness, and our mood. The player with the most points is the winner. There is no first player as play goes simultaneously. So play is going to happen over 13 rounds, and each round will start with the players drawing a set number of cards and then playing some and passing the others. In the first four rounds, we're only going to draw two cards. We're going to play one and pass the other. And in rounds 5 through 9, we'll play four, playing two and passing two. And then for the last four rounds, we go back to playing one and passing one. After all players have drawn their cards, they will play their selected card or cards face down to one of the days, Monday through Saturday, on their player board. Generally speaking, you can only have three experiences per day. The cards will overlap, and the card that is fully visible is considered your highlight of the day. When playing a card, the player selects whether it goes on top, between, or behind any of the cards currently on that day. Once placed, it can't be discarded, moved to another day, or swapped with another card. The card not selected is passed. So the first seven rounds, we're going to pass to the left, and then on the last rounds, we're going to pass to the right. You can't look at it until the appropriate round. If you don't like any of the options, you can put it face down, and you can basically take a walk. You'll discard a card, then draw one from the decks and place it face down on one of the days. You'll find out what it is at the end of the game. Players will want to match activities to the favorable condition on that day to get extra points. So we have five different icons. So we have temples and shrines, which has a red torii gate. We have food and drink, which has sushi and chopsticks. We have nature and gardens, which has the lotus flower. We have shopping and goods, which has the shopping bag with the giant heart on it. And then we have the speech bubbles, which are unique experiences. So when you play your events, you'll generally want to match up that event with that particular day's things.
So we were right.
For the most part, yeah. And then generally speaking, you'll want to stay in the same cities, because if you have to go between Tokyo and Kyoto, at the end of the game, you're going to have to put train tickets down and you will gain stress based on the number of times that you have to train between the two cities. So generally speaking, you will want to have try to train as little as possible, but you still want to, you might want to still go between the two cities. So after all players have played their card, you'll check to see if anyone gets any bonuses. After playing their third card for the day, the bonus is based on the number of matching experiences. At the end of the round, the player should have no cards in their hand. The round counter is moved and the process is started all over again. At the end of the 13th round, the game is over. Prior to scoring, trains are placed between all cards where they change cities, including if you change cities to the next day. So if you end your day on Monday in Tokyo and you start your day on Tuesday in Kyoto, you have to train to Kyoto.
Obviously.
Regular trains will result in negative points, while luxury trains are positive points. They're gained with day bonuses. Then each day is scored from top to bottom and recorded. If you hit a walk, you can now turn the card over and either play it for its location or keep it as a walk. The rulebook states, it's strongly recommended for your first game and all your games to have players take turns narrating the enriching activities they did for each day. It's more fun that way. That's what the rules say. The player with the most points is the winner. If there is a tie, they had an equally remarkable trip and share the victory. Add up the space. And then it goes on to say, like, if you really don't want to have, like, to share the victory that much, you can add up the space count for each of the five experience tokens. And the player with the most is the winner. If there's still a tie, the players must agree that they both had incredible trips. And those are all the rules.
Not 95% of the rules?
No, I think it's mostly, it's probably like 99%.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's go!
We just finished a game of Let's Go! To Japan. To recap, BP had 89... lucky. Tokyo points. I had 121 Kyoto points, and Paxton won with 124 unique experience points. I could also say train points, because he spent the most time on the train. Paxton, winning strategy.
I kind of just went off the thing cards that gave me like a good amount of points, but also I tried to match it up so like the abilities at the bottom of my last card would work with the previous one to get all those points. And that's how I got like a lot of my points, was just doing the bottom ability on the last of the three cards.
Yeah, I tried to minimize the amount of time I was on the train as well, which is why I ended up spending a lot of time in Kyoto at the very beginning of the week. But then I was trying to do the same thing, match up with the day and then have something at the bottom that I could score later on. BP?
I went to great places.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you did. theme, Paxton, what did you think of the theme? Did you feel like a person visiting Japan?
Or planning to visit?
Yeah, planning a visit to Japan.
I think so. I mean, with all the like locations and like stuff that's kind of traditional to Japan, it definitely makes you feel like, oh yeah, I'm planning a trip. It's not like, oh, you're just going to go to a museum. It gives you like a direct like location and then like a fun fact or like information about it at the bottom of the card when you like tell your story for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it definitely helps you feel like, oh yeah, we're going to go there.
Yeah. BP?
Yeah, I think so too. I think getting to choose, like, do you want to go to this place or that place, you know, would be how you are looking to plan a trip. Like, you don't want to try to plan to do too much in one day. So you get, you know, kind of three options. I think that's great.
Yeah. I will say that unless you force yourself to read the cards, that there isn't really a theme if you just try to match icons up with the special abilities.
Sure.
I was a little disappointed in myself because I felt like I was playing the game in order to maximize my points, and I wasn't making choices based on where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
I think when I play in the future, when I teach it, I'll just say, hey, just plan the trip that you want to do and don't worry about points. We'll worry about that at the end. Because I think it's a little bit more fun that way, and I think thematically, but I do think that you could play this game without ever going into the theme. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. So, and the storytelling piece, it's, even though it's a mechanic, is not, we'll get that in a minute, but, so I think it'll depend on your group, whether or not you stick with the theme.
Okay.
So I think it sounded like you two kind of stuck with the theme, or maybe just BP, and Pax and I were playing for points, which wasn't really fair for you because you were playing for the experience.
Why is that not fair for me? I played the game I wanted to play.
Sure, that's true. Table presence, BP?
The cards are great. As Paxton had already brought up, they have flavor text on them that is full of information. And they're all with some animation that's kind of a more realistic animation style as opposed to super cartoony. But I'd say the sad part about that is that you cover up the cards a little bit on top of each other. I definitely feel like with the boards and with the cards, it would turn your head at an event. I mean, the board does look a little Euro tracky, but the card art is very cool.
Yeah. Paxton, what do you think about table presence?
I think it would definitely, like, there's a lot of colors, and like the cards, they're color coded for the city. So there's like pink cards for Kyoto, blue cards for Tokyo, and then like a tannish color for whatever, but which doesn't really draw your eye, but like the colors on like the actual art, I think, and like the style that it's drawn in would definitely like turn heads, and like all the bright tokens and stuff would definitely.
Yeah, and I agree with everything that you guys have said. I will add that, you know, we have the benefit of having the Kickstarter edition. So along with like really nice wooden tokens for everything, we also have ceramic bowls, like no kidding, ceramic bowls to put stuff in. And I think they won't be for just Let's Go to Japan. We might be using those for tons of games because they're super, super nice bowls. But yeah, I agree. I think the art's really nice. And I do think it's a shame that you kind of cover it up a little bit. I suppose you could spread out your table a little bit and it would take up a lot. I mean, this is taking up a good chunk of space with covering things up. But if you had more room, I suppose you could spread them out so you could see the art better. So, yeah. Mechanics. So I like the idea of trying to plan out the day. I have kind of goals. So Paxton, at the very beginning, he randomly drew tokens and put them on the days. And then we all had to match those tokens. So, you know, it was nice to be able to like, okay, this is my shrine day or this is my shopping day, which I think could kind of go into your, like, if you went with it thematically, mm-hmm. You could make choices and be like, oh, this is going to occur on my shopping day. So that's nice. And then the walk piece, you know, if there's nothing, you just go for a walk. And that's just delightful. So that's nice. Yeah, I think mechanically it was relatively easy. What, Paxton, did you have a favorite mechanic?
I mean, I did like the, like, you have like a certain theme for the day and you want to try to match with that to like either like get a luxury train or like a wild token or whatever the green thing is that I forgot.
Mood.
Oh yeah, to like increase your mood. And I thought that was like pretty fun to try to match them and kind of make it all work together.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's fun.
BP?
Set collection is a mechanic.
Yes, it is mechanic.
And it's in this game.
Yeah. I did like the train piece where you had to think about like which city you were going to be in, because you had to train back and forth. So that was different in terms of like your, it added a unique twist to the day. So, you know, I didn't want to be on the train too much. And if I was on the train, I wanted to make sure I had a luxury train.
Which you ran out of.
Which I ran out of. And so did Paxton.
Yeah.
Rules. How was it learning the game, Paxton?
I was a little confused at first, but you get a hang of it really easy. I think my only questions were really just like, were only about like the mood things of like the orange lightning bolts and the money, the yen symbol. And that was my only question. So it was pretty simple.
Yeah. BP?
Yeah, no, I think it's a lower learning curve. I think there's, you know, some fine tuning, like if you really want to strategize and play for points, like there might be some fine tuning to kind of do with that. But I think overall, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, if you were playing with a group of people who just like desperately wanted to play for who could get the most points, I would probably say like, hey, the first time you play, just plan your favorite trip. Don't worry about points. And then when you get to the scoring section, then you walk through the points, then you kind of understand it. And then you play a second game. Because the game went really quick. I think we were done in like half an hour. I think we spent almost as much time scoring because we sat down to tell the story. But I think if I was teaching it, I would just start and just be like, hey, don't worry about scoring. Just plan a trip. And then we walk through scoring at the end. I think that would be an easier way to explain that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's how I would teach it in the future. And the rule book was super easy. The only thing I don't like is there is some like jumping around. So when you get to like end of round, it'll say like, hey, if this is the end of round 13, place your trains. But then it says, see page 13, which is like five pages later.
Mm.
So I wish they had just done it in chronological order as you walk through, you know, this is what it's going to look like at the end of the, once you trigger that end of game. So that was the only annoying part. But yeah, that was good. And then I did what we usually do, which is whenever we got to a new mechanic, I open up the rule book and we just read through it. So like going for a walk and then how do we score the walk? Yeah. So we come to our, oh no,
player
not
interaction.
Our penalty. Yeah. Player interaction. Paxton.
I mean, I think most of it was like telling the story. Like if you didn't tell the story, the only other player interaction would be like passing the cards you didn't play. But otherwise, that's like about it.
Yeah, BP?
Yeah, it's pretty minimal.
Yeah, I agree. I think that storytelling is where it is. And then if you're not doing the storytelling, I would say that there's basically no player interaction.
Right.
Because I also think you're not going to like put crappy cards. Like I never thought, they're like, oh, Paxton has a lot of Tokyo cards. I'm going to start giving him some Kyoto cards. Like you don't get a lot of choices. So I don't think like a, I don't know if you'd call that hate drafting, but like yeah. hate passing, like
you know, like take that kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you really are looking at their board and like, that'll really mess them up.
Yeah. And I didn't even think about it until I passed BP a card and I was like, oh, she has a lot of Tokyo cards. And I just gave her a Kyoto card. That'll really mess her up.
Yeah. I mean, I was given a couple cards that was like, I can't do anything with this.
Yeah.
That's kind of annoying. But that was like about it.
So now our ultimate question, would you play it again, BP?
Yes, I would like to plan another trip to Japan.
Paxton?
Yeah, I'd also like to plan another trip to Japan.
I am a yes. I was disappointed in myself for not just planning a trip and playing for points. And so I will no longer play for points in this game. Whatever points I get, I get. And I just want to plan a really fun trip and go see stuff. So, yeah, I want to play again. It was nice. And being quick also helps.
Yes.
So that was Let's Go to Japan.
So if you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, please send them our way. You can do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or hit us up on the platform known as X or Instagram at firstturncast. And the podcasting camel says, as he's packing his bag, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Camels in Japan. Play more games.
Odogimo! Kadasuki! So now I look very hip and with it, like the kids.
But not a luxury train this time, because I got a day full of shopping ahead of me.
Yeah.
Gotta save some money to splurge on the items, you know?
I started my trip on Monday by going to a themed cafe, and then immediately trapped on a train so I could go to Kyoto and shop the arcades. I found some pretty awesome stuff. More importantly, I found an amazing ramen place where I ate ramen.